Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. Well, the 2020 election is now well underway in North Carolina, with hundreds of thousands of mail-in ballots having already been returned by voters. And as has long been predicted, many top races look to be headed right down to the wire. Earlier this week, I got a chance to hear what voters appear to be thinking about some of those races, as well as their views on the direction of the country and about their confidence in the voting process itself during a health pandemic, with veteran Meredith College political science professor and pollster David McLennan. Well, David McLennan, welcome back to News and Views. Good to have you back with us.
Good to be back with you, Rob.
Well, Meredith has a new poll out. Y'all have taken a look at some of the big races that voters are already voting on in North Carolina this fall. And we know that it's an incredibly fast-moving environment. Things are changing a lot. And this poll was done a few days ago. But talk to us about at least what you found.
Well, we found that, as many of us expected, the races for the president in North Carolina and the U.S. Senate are very close. In fact, the presidential race in late September was virtually tied. You know, we know, looking back at 2008, 2012, even 2016, we knew North Carolina is going to be close in terms of the vote between Joe Biden and Donald Trump. But I think if those things hold, we'll see a very tight election.
Yeah.
In terms of the Senate race, a little bit more distance, as we may talk about in a few minutes, that's a changing race. But at least in late September, Cal Cunningham had a slight lead within the margin of error over Tom Tillis. The governor's race is the only one that, of the big three, that still looks like it did in the spring. Governor Cooper has a almost double-digit lead.
Looks like Cooper, unless there's some sort of remarkable change of events, remains probably very safe. Another interesting part of the poll was, I believe you asked some questions about Vice President Biden's selection of his potential vice president in Senator Kamala Harris. Am I right? Was that part of the poll as well?
It was. And we found that, as you might expect, Democrats were very much in support of Kamala Harris's selection. Republicans obviously would not have felt nearly as strongly as Democrats would have, and they did not. And those who call themselves unaffiliated generally supported Kamala Harris's selection. It looked to be a popular selection from Joe Biden, but as we know in just our own experience and also political science research, even though it was an exciting pick for Joe Biden, set a historic marker with the selection of the first woman of color, vice presidential selections don't mean all that much.
I think that's generally been the case we've seen. It's sort of exciting there for a few days, and then when we get back to it, unless something untoward happens, perhaps during the vice presidential debate, which I suppose these days you never know. Most people make their decision based upon who's at the top of the ticket. And that seems to be what's going on here. What do you think about the fact, David, that it just seems like at this point, don't most people know what they think about Donald Trump? I mean, it's sort of hard to imagine that people could still be on the fence about his character, about his presidency, about the direction he's leading the country. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there are some people who are genuinely undecided.
Our poll showed about 6%, and you've seen other polls show slightly smaller numbers or slightly bigger numbers. But it is hard to imagine after 4 years, almost 4 years of the Trump presidency, that there would be questions about him. And as we know, when presidents run for re-election, it really is a referendum on that particular person's first term. So to me, 6% seemed a little high in terms of undecided voters. But again, we have a lot of people who are called low information voters that just don't pay as much attention as you and I would.
Right. So let's talk about the direction of things. I mean, obviously, one of the big factors that goes into people determining which way they're leaning with a vote goes to how they feel about the direction of the country. Obviously, this is an incredibly challenging time that our country faces, a huge economic recession, an unprecedented health pandemic. There were controversies even before that, and there have been more since. Are they feeling any sense of optimism right now, or is this election, the fact that it's a very close election is pretty remarkable, given what I suspect a lot of people are pretty concerned about the direction of the country?
Yeah, but like with everything else in politics, it just depends on where you're coming from. We ask about people's satisfaction with the direction of the country and the direction of the state, and we found, by and large, depending on who your president was and what party you were and what party you were in the governor's party, you know, that really affected people's views. When we asked people about the direction of the United States, Republicans felt a whole lot better about the direction of the country than did Democrats and unaffiliated. And it was flipped in when we asked the question about North Carolina. Democrats were generally more optimistic about North Carolina than were Republicans. So even on the question of satisfaction, as you outlined, severe issues facing the country, health-wise, economic, civil unrest, you know, some people feel really, really good about the way things are going and others do not.
Is it possible that the people we survey are getting sophisticated and they sort of have a tendency perhaps sometimes to tie their response to questions like that to their view of the potential candidates? Is there any chance that that goes on when you poll people?
Yeah, and I think that's a great question. What we're finding over the course of the last decade or so is that more and more people's partisanship really, excuse this pun, trumps everything else in terms of how they view policy, how they view things as broad as the direction of the country, the direction of the state. So you're right. Trump supporters generally thought the country is doing better than North Carolina. Biden supporters thought just the opposite.
Now, another issue I believe was a part of the poll is the whole issue that's another one that's roiling us right now, which is the whole issue of voting and how we vote. The fact that we're in the midst of this pandemic and that we are doing an unprecedented amount of voting by mail. There have been all kinds of claims coming out of the White House that there are issues about voter fraud and potential for the election being fraudulent, despite the fact that all kinds of studies and research shows that's just not true. What do voters think about this? Are they reasonably confident in the election process? Do they have concerns about voting by mail?
Again, the good news is, the good takeaway is that it doesn't seem like the president's claims of massive voter fraud and problems in the absentee voting system or mail-in voting system has penetrated that deeply. By and large, a majority of North Carolinians have confidence that the votes are going to be counted accurately. Now, Democrats are a little bit more optimistic about that than Republicans, but still, it's worth noting that a majority of Republicans feel like the vote count is going to be accurate. And so even though we've not asked this question for a long time, there's been some degradation in terms of people's trust in the voting process, but not anywhere near the degree that you might expect given the polarization that's affecting everything else in the country.
And that's true even though, probably from a demonstrable factual perspective, voting and elections in the United States have probably gotten more transparent, safer, more trustworthy than they were 50 or 100 years ago when Lyndon Johnson and Richard J. Daley and people like that were stuffing ballot boxes. That's not a phenomenon really that we see anywhere anymore that we're aware of.
Yeah, and I think what's also going on here is that since we ask only North Carolina voters, I think most North Carolina voters have trust in the North Carolina system. Had we asked about would you trust the count in other states, we might see a gulf. Well, we did not ask that question. So I think it's because we were asking North Carolinians about North Carolina's voting processes and trust in those. That's why the trust is in part state high.
We're coming near the end of our time with Professor David McLennan of Meredith College, who runs one of the best polls around. And of course, one of the things that is noteworthy about polls these days is the incredibly rapid shifts that are going on in the actual campaigns that we're experiencing right now. We've had the phenomenon of the president of the United States being admitted to a hospital for COVID-19 just days after having gone through a debate with Vice President Biden that has been roundly rejected by most people as a big waste of time. Nonetheless, I've seen some other polls that seem to indicate that as a rule, people blame Trump more for that debate experience. And perhaps we've seen a turn more in the direction of the Biden campaign, maybe in recent days.
You raised the interesting point about polling in general, which is we went in the field one day and then Ruth Bader Ginsburg passed the next. And the next day, the president was announcing a possible replacement. You know, that's a seismic shift in and of itself. You know, you start factoring in such things as debates, the president's COVID diagnosis, even Tom Tillis's COVID diagnosis or Cal Cunningham's problems. It really is a challenge. But I think in terms of the question about the president's debate performance, national polls have not significantly moved yet. Mm-hmm. Now, I think, as I often tell my students and others, this has been one of the most consistent presidential races in history in terms of the polls haven't moved all that much in the last year. And so it may be, going back to your earlier comment, that people are pretty much locked into their position. They know where they stand about Donald Trump, and they conversely know where they stand about Joe Biden.
You mentioned the Supreme Court nomination. Is there any indication that that is an issue that's going to motivate voters one way or the other, that people are concerned about a quick filling of the Ginsburg slot, or maybe desirous of having a quick filling of the Ginsburg slot?
Well, I've seen other polls that have suggested that a majority of people would rather wait until after the election and have the next president nominate, but that's not going to happen. You know, I think in my poll, one of the things that I found was, in terms of the beginning of the poll, we often ask people, how likely are you to vote, which is a measure of, you know, again, their enthusiasm. We're at record highs in North Carolina in terms of people wanting to vote. And so this is where a case like Ruth Bader Ginsburg's passing and Justice Barrett's nomination, you may already be dealing with people who already know how they feel and they're already highly motivated to vote. So what would have been a motivator in previous election cycles may not be working this time.
My final question, do you want to make any kind of predictions in these races, or predict a time when you'll feel comfortable predicting any of these key big races?
Well, after 2016, I had to really re-clean my crystal ball. But one of the things we have learned from 2016 and somewhat from early October 2020 is things change quickly at the last minute. And so I'm holding my predictions until closer to Election Day. We know that over 1 million North Carolinians have requested ballots and over 300,000 have already returned their ballots. So we're seeing early voting. And so it may be that some last minute surprises that we've become accustomed to have less impact this year. So I may be a little bit too cautious in terms of my predictions. But I will say that Governor Cooper looks like he's in pretty good shape. I'm not going way out on a limb on that prediction.
We appreciate that. We thank you so much for your work. We will be paying very close attention in the days ahead. We know you will as well. I assume people can follow you online, David, and maybe check out your online posts.
Yeah, I tweet at David B. McLennan, so they can follow me there. Or the Meredith Poll has its own Twitter account, and fortunately they don't give me the keys to the car on that one. Other people are tweeting on the Meredith Poll's behalf, and so we've got another poll coming out a third week in October, so we'll have an even closer to Election Day view of all these races.
We'll be paying very close attention. Thanks so much for your fine work, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
Thank you, Rob.
Coming up next, people with disabilities recently won an important court victory that should make it easier for a lot of folks to vote. We'll hear from the lawyers who brought the case. Stay with us.